This is the podcast of Theophilus Church. For more information, visit our website at theophiluschurch.com.
And if you'll join me by standing to read the scripture, tonight we are in Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 10. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Thanks. This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening, Theophilus. Good evening. My name is Jonathan. And I consider it a great privilege to be here tonight. We are a church that is full of amazing preachers and teachers. And for me to have a chance to be here tonight to preach the word and go over the realities of the first two words of the Apostles' Creed is an awesome privilege. My wife and I, Megan, have been here for about 2 years, and I'm very excited to preach tonight. So the first two words of the Apostles' Creed are, I believe. And tonight, I will be exploring what it means to have belief. What does belief even mean? But before I get to that, I'm going to start with a story. This story is about a 17-year-old girl named Rachel. What Rachel loved was photography. She loved poetry. She was the son of a pastor, but also had her own faith. She was a devout Christian. Maybe you were one of these people, or maybe you came to faith later. And she was unapologetic about her faith. She even had a plan of going to Botswana on a mission trip. Who in here has been on a mission trip to Africa, maybe? Awesome, awesome. And she had this dream of going to Botswana, and she had such faith, and everyone that knew her knew of her faith. But there were a couple of guys at her high school that bullied her for her faith. They would say, you know, your faith is ridiculous. Maybe this sounds familiar to you. Maybe they would say that not only is your faith wrong, but you're perpetuating this belief that's actually hurting other people. They would bully her every single day. And one night, she was at her house, and she was maybe at a desk, maybe at her bed journaling. Maybe you journal. I love to journal when I'm reading through scripture. It gets my mind my thoughts in check. So one night she was thinking about these guys that bullied her, right? And she wrote down, I'm not going to apologize for speaking the name of Jesus. If I have to sacrifice everything, I will. Those words were almost a premonition for what would come. Because on April 20th, 1999, those same two guys that bullied her entered into Columbine High School in Columbine, Colorado, taking the lives of 12 students and one teacher. And she was one of those students. She was one of those students. And the story goes this way from one of the students that survived, is that they were there, and the two guys that bullied her, the two guys that in her journal she said, "I am not ashamed to preach the name of Jesus." They asked her, and maybe you've heard this story before. They asked her, "Renounce your faith or I will end your life." And if you know the story, she didn't. What was her response? Her response was, "You know that I do believe in God." And so those guys took her life. And this isn't to get brought up to talk about gun violence or anything like that, but to highlight a faith that I strive for. Belief is not just knowing facts, but belief and faith is the trusting response to God's faithfulness. Last week, we learned from Cameron about other faithful individuals in the history of our Christian faith. Their names were Perpetua and Felicity. They were martyred in a similar way that Rachel was. They sacrificed everything for the first two words of this creed. "I believe. I believe." In this Apostles' Creed that we'll be going through for the next, I don't know how many there are, many weeks, this creed is a chance for us to reorient our hearts and minds to that, to what we believe. Last week, I'm going to do a quick overview of what Cam said before I proceed. Pastor Cameron went over the Shema. And what the Shema is somewhat of a creed that the ancient Hebrews used to reorient themselves. This creed, or the Shema, says, "Hear, O Israel," which means like, listen. Yo, listen to me right now. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one." And then it continues to say, "Love him." So in the Shema, we start learning about, they would say it over and over and over. They would anchor their hearts to the truth of Yahweh God being faithful, being one, and their proper response was to love him in return. So now as we start going through the Apostles' Creed, why? It's a good question. Like, why do we read the creed every single week? Pastor Cameron answered it very eloquently last week, and I want to continue the exploration of why we say the creed. And I think the purpose of the creed is to reorient us to a greater reality than we would ourselves, right? It's a confession. Rather than just I, in the history of the church, the "I believe" actually referred to more of a communal aspect. It was "we believe." So we believe in Jesus. We believe in God. We believe in the Holy Spirit, as we'll continue to go through. And tonight, I'll take the chance to go through what is belief. Because belief can sometimes be used in many different ways in our culture. Does that sound all right? Awesome. So I'm going to pray and we'll start. God, thank you for the gathering of your people tonight, Theophilus. Thank you that through the work, the life of Jesus Christ, your Son, we have life given to us. I pray that whatever words I'm going to say tonight, that they would be from you, would glorify your son, Jesus, that Jesus would be exalted and be made high tonight, and that it'll be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So as we start, I've already mentioned some of the questions as I approach these first two words of our English translation of the Apostles' Creed, I believe. It's actually one word in the original, it's credo, which means it has the noun in it, so it means I believe. And tonight, what are some of the questions that you guys might have? What is belief? Where does it come from? What do you mean when you say we believe in something? And lastly, how can I have faith like Rachel or the martyrs throughout the 2,000 years of our Christian faith? So the first question is, what is belief, right? And I'm going to start by throwing out a couple words. You ready? This is the interactive part of my sermon. So I'm going to throw out a couple words, and I would love someone to respond with, what do you think the definition of that word is? That sound all right? There you go. Thank you. So first word is cool. What do you think the definition of cool is? Oh, I love it. The opposite of warm. So the opposite of up there during August, right? Our top section during August. Close. I was thinking of like cool, like awesome. Or like fire, like us millennials like to say. I don't say that. I'm not cool enough to say fire. How about the word run? What do you think of? What's that? Fleet? Okay, to flee. Awesome. Another way to think of the word run is to like run a company. Now, last question, point. What do you think of when I say point? Yeah, to point at someone. Well, I was thinking of more like a pointy end of a stick or something like that. To not belabor my point, grammar nerds like me call that the semantic range. Maybe raise your hand if you heard of semantic range before. What that refers to is one word can have many different meanings in the English language, like the word cool or point or mouse, you know, because mouse in a computer or the mouse in the animal, right? And in the same way, believe has a range of many different meanings, especially in our culture. One example is my beautiful new son. He is 5 weeks. He's got like fresh baby smell on him right now. He's awesome. We're not sleeping very much, but it's awesome. And I remember I was talking to someone the other day about sleep training, right? They were like, sleep training this, or I do the no cry method. There's all these different methods for getting your baby to sleep. And if you're a parent in the room, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then this person that I was talking to in the middle of talking about getting their baby to sleep, they said, oh, I don't believe in sleep training. So the question is, you don't believe it exists? You don't do it? You don't support it? I would say that person in the moment was using belief to mean support or I don't do it. Another example is like an astrophysicist, right? We have astrophysicists in the room. Probably not. They would say, I believe in the Big Bang as the start of the universe. What are they saying by that? They're saying, I accept this as truth. So what does belief mean, especially in our culture where there's different ways to understand what belief is? And I believe that there's a biblical understanding of belief that the creed that we recite every single week is conveying to us. Some might say that belief is just an acceptance that a statement is true or something exists. But I believe it's much more than that. I believe that belief is not only the stale affirmation of a truth so that something is or isn't, But belief is our trusting response to God's faithfulness. Let's crack open our Bibles. How's that sound? Hebrews 11. Did I just say crap in church? Wow. I'm so much more loose now. I did. I repent, Jesus. Okay. Hebrews 11. Back of your Bible. I'm flipping. Got to Revelation. You've gone too far. Okay, so Hebrews 11, starting in verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance in what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And the writer of Hebrews is talking about the ancients, referring to like what I would call the Hall of Fame of Hebrew characters in the Old Testament. We got names like Abel. We got names like Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah. We got Joseph. We got Moses. And if you aren't aware of what these characters did, let's just say to you, I can just say to you, they're like the OGs of the Old Testament. They showed faithfulness most of the time. But that's also part of the Bible, is you see them show faithfulness and then they fail. Story for another time. But they were the Hall of Fame of ancient Hebrews. And the author of Hebrews, possibly the Apostle Paul, is using these characters to say, this faith in the Old Testament is actually fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. They're not separated. They're actually one movement of faith that God has been demonstrating to his people since the beginning of time. So Abraham was credited as righteous because of his faith. So belief is intertwined with faith. And I would say that that faith is trust and obedience. So, what then are we to say when we say, I believe? Michael Byrd, who wrote an awesome book on the Apostles' Creed, said it this way. When the Apostles' Creed begins with the words, I believe, it is asking people who recite it to recognize their need to know, to trust, and to belong to something beyond themselves. It is an affirmation of one's needs, needs that cannot be satisfied by any material, but are met in the faith professed by the speaker. So this is what I believe. I believe that when we say, I believe, there are three different realities going on when we say that. Number one, we are saying we believe in the faith of the faith. And what I mean by that is that when we say we believe, we are not siloed believers, right? We are part of a community at Theophilus, which is a part of a community of the greater church, not only now, but in the past. So when we say that we have faith in the faith, we are professing that we believe what others have said is true. And sometimes when we're lacking in faith, we can rely on the faith of others. And then number two, we believe that faith is trust. That faith is trust. And number three, that we are committing to a pursuit of obedience. Because it's clear in Scripture that faith leads to obedience. And so, as we look at these realities in the I believe of the Apostles' Creed, our primary belief is in the person and work of Jesus Christ, right? Because like just like we worshiped before, like it is the name of Jesus that is the highest. It is the name of Jesus that is the greatest name in the universe. And by the power of Jesus, we can do any of this. Because even the ability to believe really harkens back to God's gift of belief in us, which I'll be talking on later. When we're looking at faith and the faith in the faith, kind of sounds a little confusing, maybe a little bit. But what it is and what I'm trying to get at is having faith in the faith is to say that our faith is in the community of Jesus, past and present. This is a 2,000 years of faithfulness. And we have 9 years of faithfulness here at Theophilus, right? So our confession is that everything is not just about me, right? The community of Christ is bigger than we could ever imagine. And going back 2,000 years, we are part of a story that is greater than ourselves. And maybe today we're a bit skeptical about the past. At least I can be skeptical about the past sometimes. We are not about anything that is merely handed down to us. An example are like kids to parents. It was handed down to me that getting in a stranger's car is not a good idea. I take Uber like quite a bit. Actually, Lyft. I like Lyft better. And I was also told by my parents that you shouldn't go into a stranger's house. I love Airbnbs. And so what I'm saying is that we don't always take what was given to us. And we're always sometimes skeptical what's given to us. Now, I'm not saying let's go into strangers' cars or houses. What I am saying is that sometimes we are weary of what is given to us in the past. Sometimes we may assume that the truest thing we could ever say would be something that what we had made up. And Christians are not immune to this suspicion. Sometimes we're suspicious of the creed. I know I was raised in a church that would say, like, never say the creed or any, like, liturgy thing and stuff like that. And I think the reasoning is that it's uniformity. It's kind of conformity, it feels like. But I would attest that I think that the creed is actually counterculture. It's taking a counterculture stance. When we say the creed, we are not just expressing our own views or our own priorities. We are joining our voices to the great communal voice that calls out across centuries, every tribe and tongue, and it transcends time. Michael Byrd once again says, "The truest and most important thing we can ever say are not individual words, but communal words. Most of the words of my life are trivial and fleeting. They fall from my lips and drift away like dead leaves. But in the creed, I am invited to say true words. In confessing the faith of the church, I allow my individual I to be a part of the communal I of the body of Christ. It is then that I'm saying something of deep and lasting importance. It is then that my words have roots." The creed roots us. Not just the creed, but what the creed represents. The creed is like the moon, right? Does any light actually come from the moon? No, it doesn't at all. The moon is just a reflection of the sun. It doesn't actually have the power. It just reflects the realities of what we believe. So number two, how is faith trust? First, trust is something that we give. And sometimes it's something that is broken. When we have many of us have an innate desire to find something we believe or trust in. When I got married to Megan, that was a belief, a trust. I said, "I will devote myself to you, and I trust and believe that you will devote yourself to me." So we're always trying to find things to believe in. I think one of the things that I've put my trust in or belief in is the media. I have a Google Newsstand. Anyone have Google Newsstand, right? I would go on and I would look at the news. I've deleted it since because no one needs that much negativity. But in a 1970s Gallup poll, they said that 72% of Americans had a great deal or fair amount of trust in media. Could you imagine where that number is now? In 2016, it's down to 32%. Why is that? Because the media has broken our trust. Just like so many things in our lives, we can put our trust into them and they break that trust. You don't know if it's true. But I know I'm not the only one that's ever said this. But you know what's something that will never break your trust? The person and work of Jesus Christ. So belief is more than just the understanding that something exists. But it is our faith, is our trusting response to God's faithfulness. Faith is living, active, dynamic, personal, and even risky. For those with faith, it is our trusting response to what God has done for us. Trust that leads to obedience. So now the last point of my sermon tonight is that faith leads to obedience. Back to the Hebrews chapter, in verse 8, it says, "By faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." Remember, Abraham was one of our Hall of Fame Hebrews. And what he demonstrates is that faith is not just believing that something is true, but faith is acting on that reality. So he went out, and his faith was credited to him as righteousness. So my last verse of the night will be in Mark 9. We can flip there if you want. Go back a little bit. So Mark 9. So in Mark 9, this is right after Jesus' transfiguration. So he, you know, blew up in light, like great power was demonstrated in his transfiguration. And then after that, there is a father that approaches Jesus, not up while he's transfiguring, a little bit later. And he said, he went up to Jesus and he had a son that was being tormented by an impure spirit. This father went up to Jesus, as you can imagine, and he said to him, "Jesus, free my son of this impure spirit." And in verse 23, we see Jesus' response. He said, "Everything is possible for those who believe." Everything is possible for those who believe. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." So, when I first read that, I had a couple questions. So the father had belief, but he needed help with the unbelief? Did this guy have faith or did he not have faith? Later on in the story, you actually find out that the boy wasn't actually freed of this tormented, impure spirit. And Jesus said, "This is the kind that you pray away." So they probably prayed it away later. But what was true is that this man did have faith. Why else would he have come to Jesus? But he also recognized his doubts. Maybe that's some of us in here. Maybe you have faith in Jesus. I know so many of us do, but still have your doubts, right? Like when you come to faith in Jesus, when he saves you, that doesn't mean you're going to be freed of every doubt. I have not been freed of every one of my doubts. And so what this man is saying is that, "I believe you are who you say you are, Jesus, but sometimes I forget it. I believe who you are, Jesus, but sometimes things in this world make me doubt it, right? And Jesus is so loving and caring. And he says, he responds by affirming the Father. So, this leads to my last quote by Ben Myers, who wrote the Apostles' Creed, a guide to ancient catechism on belief. He said, "The creed is full of mysterious things. It speaks of things that I can't immediately observe or verify for myself. I believe in God the Creator. I believe in Jesus Christ. God become flesh in the midst of creation. I believe in the Holy Spirit, God invisible, creation from within. How could I prove the truth of these statements? How could I know for sure? When I take the first steps, see the whole world through the eyes of God's promise, I start to live an environment of trust. And then I learn from experience that God is good." This is consistent with what the ancient father Augustine says. If you can't understand, believe, and then you'll understand. Coming to Jesus will not rid of us from every doubt we've ever had. But sometimes we have to believe and then understand. And sometimes that understanding doesn't even come. But we believe because Jesus has proven to be who he says he is, and he does what he says he's going to. So as I invite the band back up, I'll start closing. So maybe you're in three different spots tonight. Maybe you're over here, and maybe you're saying, "I've never even put my faith in Jesus." Maybe because that sounds kind of crazy that you follow a guy that lived 2,000 years ago. I mean, that's a legitimate doubt. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus is life, and that through his death, burial, and resurrection, that you can have life. And maybe you're right here in the middle. Maybe you are feeling faithless, and you need to have faith in the faith of others. Sometimes we need to find our faith in the testimony of others, past and present. And then maybe you're over here, and when I say, "I believe," you're maybe getting pulled in some type of obedience. Because as we discovered tonight, that faith leads to obedience. So maybe there's something that, like, the Holy Spirit's pulling on your heart. I would say that faith leads to obedience. And it's worth it, right? So in a moment, we'll be going into communion. I want to say that it is open to all, that God has brought us life by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we can trust in Jesus, he will not fail, that we can believe in Jesus, and he will not fail. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the truth that you spoke to me while I was preparing this sermon. It probably wasn't the best, most eloquent thing I've ever done, but I know you, God, are worthy of believing in. That in the name of Jesus that we have life, that in the name of Jesus we have hope, and in the name of Jesus we have a future. Thank you, God, as we approach these communion tables, that we can repent of our sins and have life in you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, amen.
You've been listening to the podcast of Theophilus Church. We hope you've been inspired and challenged by what you've heard. For more information, visit our website at theophiluschurch.com.